I just slipped through an exam, and you're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Guest today, the president of OUSA, Liam White, who is coming through to Corridor about the OUSA exec's new BDS stance, which was really cemented last Tuesday at a student general meeting, which was called by political rep Jet Grushinski. Good morning to you, Liam. How are we?
Good morning. Good, actually. I like that last song ended with applause. I find it's a great start to this interview.
Yes, it is. And I want to touch on, I guess, the notion of reception, because you've attracted a lot of critics over the past month or so, from pro-Palestine folks to people concerned with how OUSA will implement BDS and remain fiscally viable, among other criticisms. How has it felt being on the receiving end of these reactions? Has it prepared you for a life in politics?
I don't think anything can prepare you for that. I think it's been hard, actually. The hardest part is people that before this I got along with really well and that I really valued their opinion coming up and saying, you know, why did you make the decision? You explain why. And it just never seems to satisfy anybody on either side of it, that it's, it is really polarizing. So trying to chart a path down the middle of a sensible and moderate BDS that doesn't massively impact our operations while still allowing us to show solidarity and BDS where we can has been very difficult. I think for most people, I think they probably see that as the reasonable course, but it's been hard. There are people now that I know see me very differently either way, but that's what public life is, I suppose.
It sure is. I want to talk about that because you just said the notion of a moderate BDS.
Yep.
I always want to say BDSM for some reason. It's too close. On Critic's original story covering the student general meeting held last Tuesday to discuss and implement BDS for the OUSA exec, Dave Bennett, who I believe is a pro-Palestine activist, commented on their article saying that OUSA didn't need to adopt a, quote, new or moderate form of BDS. There are no levels of BDS. It's a well-thought-out, pragmatic, flexible, and simple-to-follow strategy. Let's hear it straight from the horse's mouth. What has the exec adopted when it comes to BDS?
So the executive hasn't adopted anything.
Okay.
Well, the executive abandoned its response. I suppose the students at their general meeting adopted... Quiz me on it.
Four resolutions.
Yeah. Saying that BDS is a legitimate and viable humanitarian effort to support the people of Gaza, that we wouldn't have any advertising promotions or procurement from companies complicit, that we essentially could have an out where other suppliers aren't available, and in that case we would engage with PSNA authorities, which is the Palestine Solidarity Network Aotearoa, who have already emailed me and are pretty willing to set up a working group. And I might have got them mixed up because now I can't remember what the fourth is.
I believe it's in this edition of The Critic. So let's just have a cheeky little look at this copy.
Just for listeners, I asked Zach to really stick it to me. And this is not what that looks like.
To myself, no. This policy applies solely to OUSA operations and finances and does not extend to independent student clubs, the University of Otago, or individuals.
Oh, yeah.
That was the other fourth part.
Yeah, and the reason we did that was because we found that, for example, student clubs would request a grant for food for an event, and we'd be like, oh, that's so easy. You know, we allow, I think it's a $500 limit for club grants for food, and then we'd get the receipt back and it said Domino's. And we couldn't in good conscience say, well, you can't have this event. You did provide food for students, and it's up to individual clubs to make that choice. Some get Sal's, some get Hell's, and, you know, some get Domino's, but that's their prerogative.
Would you encourage some of those clubs to maybe go for a Israeli connected company?
And I have asked us to just follow up and say, hey, you know, OUSA's taken the stance, but it is their prerogative. I mean, they're independent students. You know, if they want to purchase it, they can, but I would encourage them to consider other pizza providers.
Yes, yes, for sure. Now, at the SGM that was held last Tuesday, you had a prepared speech you'd run fully by the executive team. Instead of reading that speech in its entirety, you read a part of it and then proceeded to speak as a student. Now, according to the Critic article I mentioned earlier, some members of the exec felt a bit blindsided by this choice as though they'd been thrown under the bus. Do you still stand by that decision to speak as a student?
I have thought about it a lot. Already. No, I'm just, I haven't said anything yet. I'm just
being solemn.
It's a really difficult one because it's a really difficult thing when you don't fully believe in something to back it. And I had a really good conversation with the team on Monday, which was really valuable, which, to my understanding, they weren't upset that I hadn't. They were partly upset that I had spoken my mind and the phrase throwing under the bus was used. They were more concerned that I hadn't told them.
Yes.
And that was something that I think I failed to appreciate, and a really good learning opportunity there, and I didn't quite realise the hurt that I had caused until we had this really good conversation. Uh-huh. So I definitely apologise for the pain that it's caused the team. I really didn't appreciate that before going into it.
Yeah.
It also, and it's not a defense, it wasn't an easy decision either. You know, the critic article mentions that I'd consulted with a lot of people, and it was those, you know, sort of friends and family. It admits that I talked to a couple of politicians who I probably can't name, but they actually weren't very helpful either. Some said toe
they
the
never
party zing. Some said toe the party line, some said say your own thing. And I had a call with my dad beforehand, who isn't overly invested in student politics, funnily enough. And I was sort of explaining it to him, and I just said, I'm in a rock and a hard place, I really don't know what to do. And he said, look, how will you feel if you speak your mind? And I went, well, the team will be very upset with me. And he said, how would you feel? And I went, I'd be disappointed in myself, actually. Because my main point was not around BDS or Palestine itself. It was around the place that student democracy has at OUSA. And that was kind of, very briefly to our listeners, we were talking about it before, that what is the place for the student body at OUSA? Not in a student radical way, but we found out that, you know, not everything the student general meeting passes is binding. And that's, you know, it makes total sense for operations. But if the student body has asked us continually for something, and that was something that I really just could not reconcile. So I chose to spoke my mind. I think in hindsight, I would have altered the message slightly. There was an open letter that I've since written calling for other student associations to endorse BDS, and also called for to support Chloe Swarbrick's sanctions on Israel bill, and that's coming through the executive today. That sort of conveys the message a bit better of it's not about Palestine so much for individual students. I think it is more about the mission of peace without sounding really religious. And I think that was slightly more what I wanted to convey, and I didn't. And I wrote 7 or 8 drafts of that speech, and I wasn't happy with it any time, even when I read it. But I think that, and I do still, it's a hard one because, you know, somebody put it really well to me that there's no such thing as an individual in politics. And I still don't know how I sit with it. I think it's a fair comment, but it's a hard one when you're in it. So I'm still, you know, really actively, I used my little red journal that I have, and I took up 4 pages just writing notes of, like, this is how I'm feeling, this is, and I'm still not totally landed on it. But the big lesson for me now is the trust of the team that I have massively lost it and need to rebuild it. And that takes time, and that takes work from me.
Yep. Contentiousness is nothing new for student politics. If you look to NZUSA, you'll see that there's a lot of dysfunction there.
Don't talk to me about NZUSA.
I will not. If there's less confidence in you and your decision-making at the executive table, will the exec's ability to deliver for students be affected? And was that something you considered when you were making your speech that you delivered last Tuesday?
I don't think it is. I think that, honestly, and I've thought about it talked a lot since then around the question of a resignation of if I was to resign, would the executive still function? I think absolutely. And I think that speaks to the character and the members of the team that are there. Does it mean that I now have to consult and be slightly more transparent with the team? Absolutely. But I don't see that as a bad thing. I think that was probably a necessary lesson for me to learn. So, no, I'm still very confident. Look, do I have to now probably deliver more convincing arguments to the team and rebuild that trust? Yeah, but I don't think it'll affect our service delivery to students.
Okay. When the SGM was called by political rep Jed Krasinski, you indicated that it was a surprise as much to you as other exec members were surprised. Now, you've since admitted that you knew about that intent to call for the SGM for about a week. Do you think that's also an opportunity to learn from?
Yeah, and I think that it was a really difficult one because obviously there has been quite a good deal of controversy around Jet, our political rep, both being on the executive and then running for council as well. Mm-hmm. And I told him to be very cautious, and I did let some executive members know, but there were also rumours of another SGM being called for votes of no confidence in executive members, which essentially compels a resignation. I communicated both of those to executive members saying, hey, these might exist. I'm hearing rumours. And the reason I did that was an attempt to protect the team because obviously it was never certain that Jet was going to call the SGM. And I still don't think, from an executive team player perspective, I still don't think the SGM was the right call from him. Because, you know, as a member of the executive team, he has every right to bring a policy that would enact BDS before the executive. He could have brought the motion that he raised at an SGM at an executive meeting. Mm. And actually, that would have been the more appropriate for him.
Might have avoided some of the bloodshed.
Well, it's not only the bloodshed, it's that it's where we hear internal policies. External policies, internal policies aren't binding in an SGM, so now we have a student endorsement. But even, you know, now today, I'm having to bring that motion back before the executive, just because that's where it's heard. But absolutely, on the bloodshed part, it would have avoided massive headache and heartbreak for everybody. So I was disappointed, but I think it also speaks to where the team was at. And I think we actually, funnily enough, are in moving towards a better place now that around how do we have those difficult conversations with a good deal of respect. And I've talked to Jet since then and actually members of the executive on both sides who feel that on BDS they can't really speak their mind, which for me is very worrying. That was we had a 45-minute strict committee meeting the other week, which means it's just executive members in the room, and that was really the point of that, was tell me your thoughts and opinion. There was also some confidential stuff in there, but it was just a really good opportunity for executive members to sort of let off some steam and give me their thoughts in an honest way. I don't know if I've answered your original question there.
That's okay. I think the lessons have been learned, or will be learned, and I want to know, you know, how are you as a team negotiating all of this? You mentioned before that the exec doesn't feel like they can speak their mind on BDS. That seems like a pretty massive internal contradiction. Mm. So what are the kind of steps forward for people being able to speak their mind on that?
Yeah, so I think the biggest change for me is, well, the biggest change for the team is me speaking less. I kind of didn't realise. I was joking around with Donna and I said, who speaks more, me or Logan Edgar? Logan Edgar was sort of a very rogue, loose cannon president. And she went, oh, definitely you, Liam. Are you kidding me? And I went, oh, really? And it really struck me. And that was also then the feedback that I got from some members of the team once I realized to start asking. So I've got according to the OUSA exec standing orders, every executive member has 5 minutes, and we've never really applied that. So I'm now going to sit there with a stopwatch at executive meetings, timing myself, making sure I don't go over that limit. So I think changing my behaviour and my actions is a big part of it. I think the other part is we had a really, you know, on that session in Monday, we had a rule of no debating. And I actually think that that was a very useful rule, and that was a more emotionally intelligent conversation than an executive meeting. But I think that's probably also a good thing for me to keep an eye out as the chair of when is this becoming ideological, more partisan, when is this becoming slightly more difficult and more toxic to manage. So just a couple of things for me to keep an eye out for, but I think the team are hopefully headed in the right direction. You know, everybody seems a bit brighter these last couple of days, which has made a big difference. But it's still a while to go.
I was looking through the original Critic article about the SGM that was released last week, and there are a few really enlightening comments, and one of them that kind of perked my or caught my attention was about how, I mean, the wording was quite specific, but basically the essence was, you know, austerity politics might come to the exec in 2026.
God, you really read these comments.
Do you think that the financial cost of BDS will be something that dominates executive politics for the foreseeable future?
Funny enough, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday as well. I'm not sure, to be honest. That has always been a thing at OUSA. We have always had a conservative part of the student body that voiced their opinions at OUSA elections in the same way that you have very radical, progressive student candidates as well. So I don't think that is unhealthy in a democracy. You know, and I would point to Daniel and I. Daniel, who is more fiscally conservative, whereas I am not. I don't think either of us are good or bad people. I think we both just have different skills and different focuses. And I think that produces the best result. And somebody, you know, mentioned it to me the other day that democracy is best described as a contact sport. You have to get in, you have to play your part, you have to share your ideas. If the voters like it, the voters like it. Ultimately, you know, if you're thinking about checks on the student executive, it is the elections that come up. And so I think it'll be a really interesting election, talking broadly about it. And yeah, I don't know. But I've noticed it last year, and I talked to a couple of people about it as well, that the student body, at least from my perspective, and it might be just that I'm arcing them up and really pulling at their noses, but it seems to me a lot more conservative. I'm getting a lot more pushback from conservative students than I would have thought, when I'm not sure how much of the actual politics that the executive is pursuing or that I'm pursuing are particularly radical. You know, I was talking to an old school student radical who will remain nameless, who said that I wasn't doing enough because I wasn't calling for, you know, universal free tertiary education and a universal student allowance. And I just sort of went, is that possible to do? You know, and so anyway, I think it will. And I think that it's probably not unhealthy. I mean, it's you can look at our parliament and just see that that dichotomy of conservatism, progressivism, is a mainstay in New Zealand politics, and I don't think student politics will or should be any different.
Fair. Now, you intend to set up a working group between the exec and Palestine Solidarity Network Aotearoa to help shape the BDS policy while learning from other organisations of a similar size, such as the Victoria University of Wellington Students Association. How long do you expect before students can hear more about this process and, you know, more kind of corporeal, tangible BDS policy?
I'm not going to set a deadline on it because I think as the last 8 months have demonstrated, or really the last year has demonstrated, this needs to be worked through properly. And it's really, you know, up to the working group. I mean, the membership hasn't even been assigned yet. And I'll open that at our executive meeting today. So I'm not sure. I would have thought at least a month. So it will probably be following the OUSA elections, but I can't say, honestly. I think that there's been some good work already. You know, I've developed a procurement principles policy that needs some work, but is, I think, a good start on the procurement side, on advertising. The really hard thing with BDS is that it's a constantly moving target. So you know, when we signed up to BDS in November, around November, Domino's was one of the main targets. Now Domino's isn't a target, and I use Domino's just because we talk about it a lot. It's been the most public one at OUSA. No besmirchment on the Domino's name, I think. I don't know. So that's a really tricky one. And then, you know, some things are allowed under BDS, or some things are allowed in the name of practicality, such as Microsoft or Google, but then Dell and HP aren't, and it's so this is the kind of conversation that we need to work through in this working group.
Mm-hmm. But beyond BDS, what else is the exec doing to help people of Palestine?
Oh, good question. So we have an open letter going to the executive today that I'm hoping other student associations will sign on to. I've had good indication already calling for New Zealand to recognise Palestine, and then also for student associations and members of parliament to support Chloe Swarbrick's sanctions on Israel bill. And actually, one thing that I'm really proud of that we kind of haven't really talked about is that OUSA itself has recognised the state of Palestine, which many people have asked me, what's the point? We're a small student association on the edge of the world. But if we can recognise it, then maybe the students that come through Otago will see it and that they might understand a bit more detail. Maybe the Montevideo Convention that dictates what is a state and what isn't. Will learn and potentially see that Palestine is a state, and then if they ever run for parliament, they will then see that Palestine is a state. But it's one of those sort of small normative steps that I think is really good. We've also talked about potentially a fundraiser, but that's difficult because aid isn't getting in. So we've taken some short-term action, but we're still waiting to hear from the Political Action Committee that hasn't met yet what the preferred course of action will be. And I think that will be a very good discussion because it's got members of the executive who are politically inclined or not, which is also quite good, Amnesty International and the student political groups on campus. So I think we'll be able to come up with something actually quite big and quite meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Unrelated to Palestine, actually, is a... the work of a young man called Robbie in Ukraine. He's here in New Zealand. He's not in Ukraine, but he's working on a how to generate donations for laptops to be sent to schools in Ukraine. And he came to me and talked to me on Monday. So while we're talking about it, I thought I'd just promote it here that we're still trying to get donors and people that can help. He's got international logistics companies helping him. And it's a really, really cool project. So on Palestine, absolutely more to be done. And on Ukraine, stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. That's a developing situation. Thank you for your time and coming on the program, Liam. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. That was the OUSA President, Liam White, coming through to Corridor about the BDS stance, which the OUSA exec has adopted. Now we have...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. But find more at r1.co.nz.